Thanks for choosing to listen to the Northeast Divide podcast or watch us on YouTube. I'm your host, John Lane, and I'm here with Anth once again, and we're going to discuss the two largest football clubs in the Northeast, Newcastle United and Sunderland Association Football Club. As always, you can leave us any feedback or comments you have on either our YouTube channel with your podcast provider or on Instagram or X, and our handle is at Northeast Divide. So, Anth, let's start with Sunderland. So, obviously, we've had a bit of hiatus because you had a little bit of a special birthday and you had a nice trip abroad, which we'll not go into, but it looks like you had an amazing time, mate. Since then, so last time we spoke, you were seventh, got rid of this manager that had been such a horrendous drain on the club since December. And you've just finished playing at the Stadium of Light this evening, lost 1-0 to Leicester. Who, of course, are pretty much running away with the league this year. But that leaves you 10 points outside the playoffs and 9 points above the relegation zone. I mean, what is there left to play for this? Is the season done now? Is that it?
From seventh heaven to down in the doldrums, isn't it, I suppose? To be fair, though, we're still not in a bad position. But realistically, are we going to fight for sixth place? I don't think so. My heart would love to say yes, but my head says no. And yeah, I think Phil Babb commented, I don't know if it was today or the other day, former Sunderland player. He was absolutely fantastic for us. So obviously, you know, anyway, he said we had delusions of grandeur. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think some of the fan base do. I think we, again, I'll repeat what I've said quite a bit. I think we definitely overachieved last season, and I think now it's beginning to show. I know that a lot of the fans are becoming frustrated with the model, and obviously with a certain manager in charge who's now gone. So no, I don't think there's anything to play for now, which makes it worse, because being a Sunderland supporter, I'm so used to either being in a relegation battle or up there or amongst it in some way, shape or form. So when it's mid-table, you know, nothing to be ashamed of, and it's good to be an established championship side, because that's all we wanted for the past however many seasons, four seasons winning League One. I would have given me right arm for that. But yeah, unless we have some sort of incredible surge in run of form, that's it, game over for the season.
I find it really interesting, right? Because I read a tweet, a lad I used to work with a few years ago, a big Sunderland fan, and he said that Speakman had said that one of the reasons they got rid of Mowbray is because they were targeting top two, and that's where they wanted to be this year. That was the aim. Now, if the sporting director actually thought that, I think he's up there with that scout that had Ibrahimovic on that list. and I mean this with the greatest respect to you, right? Because I think, don't get us wrong, I think you finished off the season strongly last year, but then you came across Luton, who obviously were the hot team in the league at the time on form and have managed to then get themselves promoted. You've got Leicester, who came down and basically kept like the majority of their squad. You've got Southampton that they lost a couple of players, yes, but ultimately, again, a lot of their squad kind of stayed the same. And then you've also got Leeds, who have really kind of made a stick of it as well. So you've got those three teams that all got relegated, who are miles ahead of everyone else. And this is one of my biggest worries about the gap between the Premier League and the Championships can continue to grow and grow and grow. You're going to see the same 6, 7, 8 teams who swap positions between the Premier League and the Championship because they get the money and then they get the parachute money, and then they're always in a stronger position. And then you throw a PSL or financial fair play into it. At what point can you then try and get ahead? At what point can you then try and make that leap? And you said before that some fans are worried about the model. I mean, the previous model of Ellis Short to sign the big check every year didn't really work, did it?
Be careful what you wish for, isn't it? What do you want? Do you want stability? Do you want foundations to build on? Or do you want, again, silly money thrown around for mercenary players who had no interest in playing for the club, and it was just about a big wage packet for them? And we've seen enough of them come through the doors in the past. So I'm still with the model, and I think you know, just keep the faith. We've got to keep the faith. I mean, they got backed well tonight. They were backed well. And that's the thing with regards to Dodds. I think he will be backed. And, you know, I think with obviously Beale, prior to that, like you've commented on a few occasions, he could have went on a run of 10 wins in a row and then lost one game. And then the supporters would have been, you know, vocal, vociferous, even cruel, relentless. There would have been anyway. So, yeah, I just think we're still on a good footing. We're still on a right good footing. I mean, my son was up at the weekend, surprise post-birthday visit. And, you know, we had a good chat about football, as we always do. And we were looking at the League One results and we were thinking, you know, I'm so happy we're not down there fighting amongst that anymore because it's just horrible. The Championship, obviously, there's a bit more quality. And, you know, but like you say, the gap between your Leeds, your Leicesters, your Southamptons, your Norwich are coming good now. They've got strength and depth and they're showing the quality now, aren't they? They're showing the quality. And like you say, these clubs are coming down for the Premiership parachute payments. You know, so the gap's there, but I'm disappointed, but I'm not totally disheartened.
No, so I've got a colleague that I work with who at some point may make an appearance on this podcast. Who knows? That's very much ballers in his court on that. But he was talking to us just before, and he basically said that he was talking about Ipswich. So he said that it was 0-0 54 minutes tonight against Bristol City. And on the hour mark, they've made like four changes. And I think last time we looked, it was 3-2. Mm-hmm. So Ipswich are a team that's come up from League One. And then they've somehow had their nous to make sure that they've got enough of a squad. So they've got enough players that can change the game off the bench. And what he said is that Sunderland have actually got a really good first 11. It's mm-hmm. the bench and past that where you struggle. Now, I know it's a different level, but I think Newcastle had this issue under the Ashley era. I remember Lambias came out with a shite statement about purple players. And basically said, oh, you should have you have purple players. So basically, you've got a 1 to 11, essentially, and then you have a level beneath that. And I think with the changes that have been made around kind of the fact you can have up to 5 on your substitutes made and up to 9 on your bench, that obviously can make a big... It's becoming more a squad game, and I think we'll have to accept it's more of a squad game. Man City win the league regularly because they have 25, like, if not world-class, very, very high-quality players. Liverpool are challenging with a similar kind of squad, as are Arsenal. And that's soon going to have to become the norm for a lot of sides. And Newcastle, which we'll talk about in a bit, they've started to get that depth back a bit. So I suppose that's the other thing is, you know, you've got Jack Clark injured now probably for another, 4 or 5 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And he's such an important player for you. I mean, you haven't got anyone really to replace that.
No, we haven't. You're right. And I think I am a fan of the model and I can see what they're trying to do. And, you know, will it bear fruition? I think it will, but it's a question of how long it'll take and how patient people will be. But I think we've missed a few wise heads, older heads. I mean, we've missed Evans, and you know, a lot of supporters weren't his biggest fan when he was fully fit. And he's coming back from a long spell out injured, and we've missed the likes of him who can just control the pace of the game. I know Dan Neil does his best, and I know he doesn't get a lot of plaudits or pats on the back, does Dan Neil? Because I think a lot of his work, both on and off the ball, goes unnoticed. So I think with a lot of these young players, I mean, Echo was taken off tonight, wasn't he? And he hasn't been playing particularly well for a number of games, you know. So yeah, strength and depth, we haven't got that. We haven't got that. We've been unfortunate with injuries, but then again, so is Newcastle, haven't they? So, but the difference being is you've got even with those players out injured, you've still got some quality players on the bench. Whereas with us, I'm not so sure.
Well, and I think we do now. I mean, against Man United, we named like 3 keepers, 2 pensioners, and 4 academy players or something. That it was ridiculous. So when you have situations like that, like we've had with injuries this season, it's mad. But, you know, different division, and we're going to start talking about that division now. So I was very lucky. I got a text from me old boss at about 10:30 in the morning on Saturday, just before my wife was due to go to work, saying, do you fancy a ticket at the match? And I managed to rapidly sort some childcare out so I could go.
Priorities, John, priorities.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, this is it. And like I said, like I said to the wife, I said, you know, actually, you know, I need to, if I've got a chance to go, I'll try and go. So I thought, bugger it, why not? I'll go. And I got drenched first half. But it was a much, much better performance. So our form had been indifferent, I think, to say is best. And I think the biggest issue we'd had really for me was it was around our performance. So it wasn't necessarily that. I mean, sometimes we were getting like the rub of the green in terms of the results. But actually, the issue was around kind of how we were performing and where we were going from there. So if I think actually in the Premier League, we've only lost one of our last five games. And that was the 4-1 defeat at Arsenal. Prior to that, we drew 2-2 at home to Bournemouth, who, you know, are an okay side. But really, if you've got ambitions of Europe, that's the kind of team that you have to beat. We won away at Nottingham Forest, but they're a team fighting relegation. And we had to work very hard to do that. And again, probably didn't look comfortable until it was 3-2. And even then, you know, we eked it out and whatever. We then had the game against Luton, which we've already spoke about on this podcast, which was crazy. Mental to say the best. We went 4-2 down at one point in that game and somehow crawled it back to 4-4. But I think the difference was on Saturday is that once, I think the first 15 minutes, I think Wolves were probably the better side. Mm-hmm. We then got the goal. Okay, 13 minutes, whatever it is. We then got the goal. And then I think all of a sudden we just kind of stepped it up a little level. And then when we got the second, that was it. The confidence was there. And Newcastle under Eddie Howe, when they go two goals ahead, don't lose. And they've only once drawn, and that was against Man City last season. So that gives you an idea of kind of how comfortable we are normally in that position. From the outside, Anth, right? And I don't know how much you see of Newcastle, or how much of a perception you get of it at times, I suppose. I suppose what are we going to play for this season? You know, is it realistic that we can make Europe? You know, I'll talk about it in a bit, but you know, is the FA Cup draw, is that almost you know, is that now a free hit away at the Etihad? I mean, where do we go from here?
You've been so unfortunate with that draw, haven't you,
mate? It's
honestly, man,
cup draws this year, it's ridiculous,
cruel. I was talking with my best mate last week about Newcastle and their fortunes and what have you. And I mean, I think we've discussed this. I don't know about this season now with the draw with regards to Man City, but you know, stranger things have happened. But I think it's only a matter of time before you get to another final and win it. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched any of the Premiership highlights from the weekend gone. I was a busy boy and what have you, but I will end up watching them at some stage this week when I finish work. So, yeah, I just think, I don't know. I mean, what was the atmosphere like on Saturday? Was the atmosphere good?
We've had better atmospheres. I think I think an issue we've got at the minute at St James's, I think it's driven by expectation. Mm-hmm. So PSG was all about, we're going to back the lads and we're going to get them there and we're going to get the result. And it was that's the best atmosphere I've ever experienced in that stadium. Bear in mind, I had a season ticket for 15 years and I've gone regularly. I've still attended games since I lost my season ticket. So about, 7-8 years ago. I currently share a ticket now. So I probably, with ballot wins and or transfers or whatever, I'll probably end up getting to about 10 games a year. Ish. Mm-hmm. And that PSG miles the best atmosphere I've ever been to. I also managed to win, so I won a ballot to get a ticket to Dortmund. So sat in the leases for that game. And there was a very different kind of atmosphere and it felt almost expectant. Mm-hmm. So bear in mind, Borussia Dortmund, a quality side, They're not a pushover side. I think they won our group in the end, actually. So they're not mugs. But because we embarrassed PSG the way that we did, I think there was almost this expectance, all right, it's all right, we just need to come. If we beat these, that's us, we're through. And you're right, if we'd won that game, we'd probably qualify. But, like, that's not what happened. You know, we lost that game. We lost a couple of players. And it's been more and more games I've gone to, I've found that against certain teams, there's almost this expectant atmosphere in the stadium where people think we just need to turn up and need to win. Now, we were doing that in the league pretty regularly. And, I mean, I remember walking out after the Fulham game thinking we played pretty poorly, but we'd still managed to get a result. I apologise if you can hear my dog in the background, by the way. and then going into that, we didn't win at home for 2.5 months after that. And it's almost like the team have needed a bit of a wake-up call to actually know we need to turn up and we need to produce results. But, I don't want to criticise the fan base. We spend a lot of money going to these games. And whether that is that you've got a season ticket or whether you've bought, got one through a ballot, or whether you're having to pay extortionate amount for corporate because you have to be there. And the only way you can guarantee a seat is by spending hundreds of pounds for one game. But we need to turn up when we need to back the lads. And I think my biggest concern on Saturday was more the frustrating noises for certain players when they made the odd mistake. Dan Byrne was excellent on Saturday. He's had so much stick. He made one or two mistakes. Oh, and you can hear it in the ground. And I just thought, yeah, like, you've got to give him a chance. There was a couple of groans at Longstaff as well when he was trying, like, difficult passes. And I thought, I'd rather, like, that's what Longstaff hasn't been trying to do. Mm-hmm. He's been a bit of a passenger at times. But then you hear those noises. And one of my colleagues from the True Faith podcast, who obviously I do bits of work for as well, he said he was sat in the east stand and he realised that actually how in some parts of the ground, if it's quiet enough, what you say in the stand can impact the players. And there was a couple of times when players were reacting to things. So I think the atmosphere is a bit of an issue. Now, the club are running a working group on this and getting some ideas for what fans would want to see in terms of how to improve the atmosphere generally. But I think one of the biggest issues we have at the minute is there's so much controversy around ticketing and around how people get tickets or how they can apply for tickets because it's so popular to get in. We don't have the same problems that Sunderland have trying to sell their tickets. Like, we're sold out every game and people hate the ballot because they don't get there as often. Now, anybody who used to do the queue last year, where basically, for those who don't understand, you'd have to log in 10 o'clock on a morning, either Tuesday or Thursday, and you'd have to sit and wait, and this little man walks along the screen, and you wait to get your turn to buy your ticket. if you're a doctor or a nurse or a fireman or a teacher, you can't do that. There's lots of people that can work in an office, and they can, slope off for a bit of time on 3-4 devices and wait and get through and then get a ticket. So those people that were getting 16, 17, 18 tickets on the membership last year don't like the ballot because now they're getting one or two or three. But then there's other people who are entering the ballot every week and they're getting a ticket every other week or 15 out of 17 weeks, and other people haven't had one. So if you're getting tickets, you're happy with the system. If you're not getting tickets, you're not. But ultimately, then that's where the blame comes in. Oh, well, it's the ticket and that's driven the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it is. I think it's changed expectations. I think you qualify for the Champions League, you then bring in players like Tonali, who I know hasn't played, and Barnes and Livramento, and you basically send the message, look, we're going to try and compete again. And then there's just this expectation when you turn up on a Saturday, right, let's win. And we didn't have that last year. Last year, we went into every game, we backed the lads. And the players, similarly, I think, lifted their level as well. And I think sometimes, too often, we've turned up and expected to win. But we didn't do that on Saturday.
Do you know what? Our support base is guilty of the same. They can be very, very vocal. And, like you say, people are entitled to their opinion. They pay the money. They go to the matches. Week in, week out, away matches. Again, I always find it very interesting when it comes to away days that regardless of how we play, the atmosphere is always just amazing. They're fully backed away. We sell out every away trip wherever we go, doesn't matter what distance it is. Newcastle, I'm sure, are the same, and also very vocal. And I find it very interesting. I mean, I would have found it incredibly difficult to back the lads after that game down at Huddersfield, because that was just shocking. But they still got behind them. Yet at home, we have the same issue with regards to, yeah, there's a lot of vitriol. There's a lot of comments that are made. Like you say, with Longstaff, he's got the confidence now to try and make those passes, hasn't he? Would he have done that a season and a half, 2 seasons ago? Probably not. But he's having a go, isn't he? But yeah, they don't come off. Fair enough and all that. But I think I'd rather see my players trying to do something out of the ordinary rather than, you know, just sticking to whatever tired old format. I mean, it's looking pretty pedestrian now, but there you go. But at least you just want to see players trying. And then if it doesn't come off, all right, okay, then we go again. And I suppose when expectations are high, like when we beat, I mean, that was against Southampton at home, seems a million years ago now, and Chris Rigg was going to be the next big thing and still will be, I think. I just think that expectation levels were very, very, very high. And, you know, we're firing on all cylinders, and it's easy to get behind the team when they're playing like that. But it's when they're playing badly or things are not quite coming off. I mean, the effort is there. The effort's been there the last couple of games. Norwich away tonight against Leicester. Unfortunately, the quality hasn't for us. And, you know, as a supporter, I mean, I don't boo. And I always wait until the match finishes and I never leave early. I've never understood. I know people have got transport links and what have you to get. Oh, it really pees me off. Like, but I know, like, tonight, for example, you know, you want to get home, you want to get yourself to bed, then you're up for work early in the morning. But I just think stay till the end. And I mean, even if you don't clap and cheer them off, at least, you know, I think it's just a bit disrespectful. So, yeah, I think the crowd can play a huge part. And I think in our ground as well, there's certain parts of the ground which are not as vocal as others. And you can hear from the sidelines, and it does impact upon the players on the pitch.
Yeah, and I want to be really careful here. I don't want to sit here and slag off my own fan base.
No,
like,
no.
Cause, you know, not. Like, yeah, I don't want 50,000 enemies. Not that I think I'm going to get 50,000 listeners this week, but, you know, that's another story for another day. You know, but I think, you know, certain things have helped with the atmosphere. They've put the safe standard in the Strawberry Corner, mm-hmm. which has made a difference, and it means that there is a part of the ground that is always loud. There's a lot of fans talking about they'd love to see safe standard in the Gallagher, almost like the entire Gallagher. My question would be, do we have enough people that want to do that? Mm-hmm. Because that only works if you have that amount of people that want to stand for the entire game, sing for the entire game, create that atmosphere. I mean, if you can get that, amazing, right? And if we've got that, please, like, you know, apply, go, do it, right? But I'm skeptical, right? Because as much as I love being in that kind of area on occasion, would I be a season ticket holder in that section and be able to give that energy to it every single game? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Now, some would. Some do that. So, you know, we've got, obviously, we've already got a couple of thousand in the Strawberry Corner who do that. But that's part of it. The second part you have to ask yourself is, as a club that's trying to grow and trying to increase their revenues, you're going to have more and more areas that are more corporate hospitality. As a result, these are not traditionally people that are going to be singing and chanting and making a lot of noise and whatever else. You've got to be really polite and clap, and, you know, it's almost like being in the grand circle of the theatre. So that's going to have an impact on your atmosphere. There's also going to be no doubt that we'll be selling some of our tickets as like travel packages. So there will be fans who are tourists. Not a massive amount, I don't think, but, you know, there'll still be that element to it. And the club has to be really careful about getting the balance of all those things right. Because all those things can impact on the atmosphere. And you're talking about away tickets beforehand. So we've got a lot of detectives that are in our fan base, I think, who, when the tickets go on sale, they log in, they know what the allocation is roughly or should be, and they work out, right, how many of these have been sliced off for corporate. So, for example, we had a 6,000 allocation for the Stadium of Light in the FA Cup. Can't remember the score for that. You'll have to remind us. But I think about, I think it worked out that about, I think it was 6,200 and 5,000 went to the loyalty scheme. The, you know, where you've got a certain amount of loyalty points and you buy your ticket, which means 1,200 went to corporate hospitality and ballots of some description. So, and that's probably a lower percentage than most games. When you look at it, like I think Luton, we had something like 35% of tickets didn't go on sale through the loyalty scheme, and most of them went to either sponsors or family members of players, or we've got a season ticket ballot, which is outside of the loyalty scheme that you can enter. You didn't have the points to get to the game. We've also got corporate ballots. So if you've got a corporate hospitality ticket, you can apply for a ballot for an away game, which is a much better percentage than you would get if you're a regular season ticket holder trying to ballot, because not every corporate person wants to go. But you see my point. Yeah. The more and more you dilute those fans out, that can have an impact. Now, the problem is that then when the atmosphere isn't great, maybe it just isn't great one day, that's the first thing everyone points to. Oh, it's because we've got loads of corporates. It's because of this. It's because of that. We had a horrendous incident at Bournemouth where somebody wearing an NFL hat, I wear an NFL hat in the match, by the way, because it's nice and comfortable and warm. Not because I'm American, because I'm not.
No.
And somebody was approached and asked, and, well, you know, how did you get your ticket? And he's like, well, I've followed Newcastle for 35 years, got it through the loyalty scheme. I've got X amount of points. But no one should have to justify why they've got a ticket.
Nah,
because if you've managed to get a ticket another way, like, that's your business. Like don't hate the player, hate the game, you know? That's the issue. So there's a lot of stuff. But I think moving on, in terms of Newcastle, we've really turned our form around. And I think, you know, we obviously had a massive win in the FA Cup on Tuesday, the last Tuesday night against Blackburn, got through, didn't make it easy for ourselves. You know, Dubravka basically got us out of jail in the penalty shootout. And then we've taken that momentum into Saturday and we looked more like us. And we then, from Saturday, had like a nine-day gap before our next match against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So I think that's a big one for us, I think, coming up. But I'll touch on that a little bit later. I'm aware I've been talking about Newcastle quite a bit, so I'm going to move on. Just a small task of Southampton next for you. St Mary's. Now, you beat them 5-0 at your place earlier in the season, so you can't write this one off.
Can't I? Oh, I sound like the ultimate pessimist, can't I? And I do. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I am a realist. You know, I know in the past we haven't had great results down there. I remember one particular one in the Premier League, which my friend who's a Borough supporter constantly reminds me of with after 8 jokes or whatever, a 7-up and all this carry. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I just think they're showing the class now, aren't they? I mean, that game was unbelievable at home. Everything just seemed to go right for us and everyone played really well. So, yeah, I mean, when Riggs scored the header, I thought, you know, fully deserved, great player. And he's not the biggest player in the world. And, you know, when Dewey did his little ballerina twirl, I thought once, twice, looked amazing. Then the third time I went, oh, he's lucky to get away with that one. So everything sort of came off for us. I think at the moment things aren't gelling. I'll applaud Dodds because what he's not afraid to do is he's not afraid to make a substitution or two, and he's not afraid to hold his hands up and admit, look, I got it wrong against Cardiff City. He said, look, you know, it didn't quite come off what I was trying to do. I've had a chat with the players, you know, onto the next game, a lot of positivity. Whereas the previous manager, obviously, you know, how you feel about him or how my fellow supporters feel about him, they'd be very vocal with his ego, etc. And I don't think he would have admitted liability for any of it. So it's quite refreshing. So it's a long trip as well, isn't it? It's a hell of a long trip. And their home record is very good. So
is it though? Because right, I've been having a little look now, right? So yes, they're fourth on the table, and look, you know, I'm trying my best to be optimistic for you here, right? So they're fourth on the table. They won away at Birmingham on Saturday, 4-3. Prior to that, obviously they played Liverpool in the FA Cup, and I think, you know, fair, you know, Liverpool beat them 3-0. Liverpool look real challengers to win the league this year. Did you know their manager was leaving at the end of the season, by the way? No one's really mentioned it. And then, so moving on from that, prior to that, they lost their last two games at home. So they got beat 2-1 off Millwall, and then the Tuesday before that, they got beat 2-1 off Hull. In fact, they haven't won at St Mary's since they beat Huddersfield 5-3. And that was on the 10th of Feb. So, look, they were a team for me, which I thought they were nailed on to come back up. And I thought they were more likely than Leicester to keep a lot of their bigger players. And I think Leicester lost a couple through just contracts ending and what have you. But actually, they managed to bring in someone like... oh, it's the lad that used to be at Spurs that played tonight. I can't even remember. Winks, that's it. Mm-hmm. They managed to bring him in and Connor Cody, and you know, they made some really sensible signings, and they very much look at Premier League team in the Championship. Southampton managed to kind of keep a lot of the strong squad. Yes, Ward-Prowse went. Livermento, obviously, he's come to Newcastle and done amazing here, and no doubt would have been great for them in the Championship. But their form has fallen away a bit, and you know, it's looking more like it's going to be Leicester and Leeds in that top two, mm-hmm. than Leicester and Southampton.
Would you win?
That's another reason. Yeah, if you do want, then it should happen. Yeah.
Oh, we are most definitely due a win, and I'm hoping we do click into gear sooner rather than later. But as we said earlier, do you know what? I know that they're a good bunch of young players who, you know, are embracing everything about the football club with regards to the so-called model, the style of play, etc. And they're a young, optimistic side, I would say. But at the moment, results are not going our way, and sometimes younger heads can drop. So, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to call it. I can never call it all my football team, to be perfectly honest with you, because we could go there and win 3-0, to be honest with you. So, and then it could be back on again, couldn't it? Or realistically, not. Yeah, I sound so pessimistic this evening, don't I? But there you go.
I think the issue is, right, Anthony, and you know, I've got a bit of sympathy for you here. I think sometimes apathy just sets in, right? Mm-hmm. When you get to the stage of this, I always used to feel like this around in the Mike Ashley era. Get to like January, and we'd done enough probably to stay in the league, but we weren't going to kind of qualify for Europe. And then we get knocked out of the third round of the FA Cup, and I'd be like, well, what the fuck's the point in the rest of the season?
Yeah.
and that's how I used to feel. And I think really that's probably how you're feeling at the minute. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, you're not in the FA Cup. Can't remember who knocked you out. and then you still got, you know, you got 10 games of the season have to go. You're probably not going to go down, but you're probably not going to get in the playoffs. So it's like, well, what can you cling on to? But actually, if you were to beat a team like Southampton, I think tonight was your big chance, to be fair. I think if you got a win tonight, that would have given you some real momentum going into the weekend. Mm-hmm. And Southampton's form still being a little bit shaky. They're playing Preston tomorrow night at their place. You've got a couple of days, well, one day on them, I suppose, in terms of preparation for the game. Does that then give you the chance to then kind of build some momentum? But I wouldn't write it off. I think looking at their form, they look a bit of a coupon buster team, as I like to call them, where a lot of people would expect them to win, but actually, when you look at the results on the surface of it, their form at home hasn't been great. They haven't won at home for a bit. Now, you could argue that means they're due a home win, and that you're the perfect bait for that. But I think at the same time, you know, you've got to play all these teams at some point, haven't you? And give it a go. You have lost your last five games in the Championship. You are due a win. So there is that element of it, but it's how do you get that to turn around? Because actually, if you do continue to lose games, you're going to start looking at that and going, I mean, I can't see you going down. You're on 47 points. Like 50 usually keeps you up in the Championship. Yeah. So you're going to win a game or at least draw three before the end of the year. So, yeah, I personally think you'll lose. I do think you'll lose. I'll put it out there. But But I wouldn't go into there thinking there's no chance of you getting any kind of result, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think it's how do you motivate the players now as well? And, you know, we did have that player who could make the difference. I know some say we were too predictable and we went down, you know, a certain route with regards to our style of play with Jack Clark in the side. But he had that spark and that creativity to do things that were different. And now we've sort of lost that. So, yeah, I mean, we've got nothing to lose. So the expectations now and maybe not so high, as you say, after tonight's result. If we had got a decent result tonight, if we got the win, sorry, even, we would have been still in with a shout. But, you know, are we planning ahead for next season already? That's the thing. I mean, there's the managers, some of the names getting bandied around. And, you know, are we planning ahead for next season already? But I think there's still, you know, a few games to play. And you want to win every game, don't you? And I think our support base just deserve it. We've had nothing to cheer about of late. So maybe we've had too much to cheer about in the past, sort of, you know, with a style of play, home and away. We have been spoilt apart from the B-Leader, I suppose. But, yeah, we'll see anyway. But, yeah, there's always next season.
I think another positive with Jack Clark, Anthony, I mean this with the greatest respect to the player, is I don't think he's shown enough to be taken by a Premier League side for me. Mm. I think his big audition was on the 6th of January, and I think he fluffed his lines. I think he didn't really make an impact on that game at all, and that was his chance really for people to raise eyebrows. Anytime I've watched him since then, I thought he's a really good Championship player. I don't see him coming in and doing like what Gerard Bowen did at West Ham. Like, he's not, for me, of that ability. Even if you look at the likes of Elise at Palace as well, who obviously had done really well in the Championship. Alex Scott has gone to Bournemouth, hasn't he? And he's looked decent. I just don't see Jack Clark in that place yet. Now, I might be wrong, and a Premier League club might decide to take a punt on him, or, you know, Leicester or whoever else who get promoted might look at him and go, actually, he's a really good option for us for next year. I personally think there's a really good chance that you keep him, because I don't think Speakman and Kirill, what's his name, will I don't think they're going to get the offer that they're expecting to get from him. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit like a Saint-Maximin for you. Like, we've got a value, you will have a valuation of him that you're expecting to get, and the club won't sell him because they're not getting the valuation, and he'll either sign a longer deal, or he'll run his contract down or what have you. But I don't see him going imminently for you, is what I would say. That's my read on it, because I just don't think I haven't seen enough from the little bits I've seen of him to think he's that good in the nicest way. But, you know, but he's a very important player for you at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's worth a lot more to you than the money that you'd be able to get from, in my opinion. Right, so Newcastle, we've got Chelsea next Monday night. So we've got a bit of a break and a bit of time for Eddie on the training pitch, which is always good for us. And then after that, we've got the FA Cup quarter final at the Etihad. I just want to kind of talk about these draws, right? Because there's a couple of things. So first of all, right, so what the teams that we've drawn, right, this year, League Cup, Man City at home, who we knocked out. We then drew Man United away, who we knocked out. We then drew Chelsea at home, who we got knocked out to because Trippier slipped in like the last minute to concede an equaliser, and then we went out on penalties. So we were very close to getting to a semi-final, despite the fact that we had three of the greedy six that we drew in the League Cup. The Champions League, we had AC Milan, former European champions, and got to the semi-finals of last year's competition. We had Borussia Dortmund, who have won the competition previously, I think 1997, I want to say, but they'd been to a final in the early 2010s, I think. It was one of Klopp's last games for them against Bayern Munich at Wembley, off the top of my head. And then the other team we drew were PSG, who are owned by the Qatar state, basically, very similar to kind of PIF, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And or why, you know, have basically been targeting the Champions League for the last 10 years and can't win it because despite the fact they're spending shitloads of money and they've had Mbappe as their sporting director. So that was the other three teams that we drew. And then the FA Cup, we drew our local rivals that we hadn't beaten in 13 years. But we've put that right, so that's okay. We then drew Fulham away, so mid-table Premier League side. We then drew Blackburn away. Middle of the Championship side, you know, probably should beat them. But again, another away tie. And then we're away to Manchester fucking City. Like, six times when we've had a draw this season, it's been a former European champion. Six times. And as I say, the easiest draw we've had was probably Blackburn in the last round. And they pushed us to a penalty shootout. Like, what? What have we done, right, to deserve that kind of look? It's mental.
You're feeling slightly hard done by, aren't you?
I think what it shows, honestly, right, and like Eddie Howe's had some shit this season off some fans, right? And I think it's mad, right? Because when you look at the kind of teams we've drawn, the style of play that we have, the injuries that we had, the fact that all the way through December, we pretty much were picking the same 11. As I said earlier, against Man United, we had three keepers. We had Matt Ritchie. I think we had Richie Dummett, three keepers and three academy players on the bench. And then we had our starting 11. It was kind of at that point where every match, right, same 11 again. Every 3 to 4 days, no time on the training pitch, same 11 again. And there's only so much you can do that. So the fact that we're still 2 points away from European place, we're in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. We were this close to getting the semi-final of the League Cup. And I think if we get there, we get the final because we would have had Borough in the next round. So it's not about feeling hard, but it is bad luck, right? I get it, right? And this is what happens. And I think we were 20 minutes away from getting through the knockout stage of the Champions League as well. We've actually had a really good season. When you look at it and you look at some of the cards that we've been dealt, I think it's madness when people talk about the manager changing. Really quickly, as I say, I think Chelsea, I'm going to go for a draw in that game. I think it'll be a 1-1. But I really hope we give it a go. If we play like we did against Wolves, we've got a real good chance of beating them, is what I would say. And if that can carry us some momentum into the FA Cup game, then so be it. But I think we'll talk about that more a little bit next week. We'll also talk about how the nice, easy tie at St Mary's goes at the weekend. And then we'll look to preview Sunderland's home game against QPR as well. And obviously, if there's any other kind of news stories for Newcastle or Sunderland, we will try and pick them up. But Anne, thank you again, as always, for your time. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to the North East Divide podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Please leave your comments on either YouTube or on your podcast provider, or leave us feedback through one of our social media channels, which will be at North East Divide. And we will speak to you all very soon. Thank you very much, and goodbye.